Today's shiur is dedicated for his chus for refuah shleima, for shalom and bracha. Today's shiur is mesecht in the darim da pei hey, and we will begin beizer Hashem yisbarach on da pei dalet amud beis. We had learned in the Mishnah two cases. If a person said kahanim v'levim nenenli, if a person made a broad statement that all kohanim and all levim may not have benefit from me, then the halacha is Yitlu Bakarchai. They may take what belongs to him even against his will. But if he specified Kohanim Elu Levim Elu, specifically this Kohanim, this Levim Nenali may not have benefit from me, so then only those Kohanim and Levim whom he identified may not have benefit from him. Every other Kohen and Levi may have benefit from him. As we begin our shiur be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, we need to review a concept that we discussed in our previous shiur, and that is the concept of Toivus Hanoah, which means that when one has Trumas and Maisers to distribute, he has a right, the person who has the Trumas and Maisers has a right to choose which Kohen and which Levi should get those Trumas and Maisers. And the halacha is that a Kohen may not pay a Yisrael to give for him to be, to give, that he should choose him to be the person to get the Trumas and Maisers. That is the concept which is known in Shas as Kohen Messiah Bebeis Agronis. A Kohen may not be the one who could participate and help in order that he should be the individual to get the Trumas and Maisers. But we also did learn that if somebody has a son-in-law or a grandson who's a Kohen or a Levi, and he wants that the Trumas and Maisers that I have to give, I could choose him, and I may be paid a token amount in order that I should pick him, and that's called Toivus Hanoah. Says the Gemara, Alma, so when we learn our Mishnah, when we learn the first din of our Mishnah, that the first din of our Mishnah says that even though I said that no Kohanim, no Levim may benefit from me, the Kohanim and Levim could still take my Trumas and Maisers. Obviously, this Mishnah holds that Toivus Hanoah ain't a moment. And therefore, there is no financial value that I am giving or giving up when I give Trumas and Maisers. And since there's no financial value when I'm giving up Trumas and Maisers, any Kohen or Levi, even though I said may not have benefit from me, can take the Trumas and Maisers. But ask the Gemara, but then let's continue learning the Mishnah. Eima Seifa, if I said Kehanim Elu, Levim Elu, Einanali, identified certain Kohanim and Levim, then the Mishnah said, Yitnu Acherim, other Kohanim and Levim should take the Trumas and Maisers. Aval Hani, these Kohanim and Levim whom I identified, Loi, should not. Why? Because I made a nether that did not have benefit from me. And if they're going to take my Trumas and Maisers, Alma Toivus Kamamin. The Toivus Hanoah is considered like it has a financial value. So since it has a financial value and then not a benefit from me, so they can't take the Trumas and Maisers. So isn't that a steer maybe? Isn't our Mishnah self-contradictory? Amar of Oishia Loikasha. The way to understand the Resh and the Sefer, the way to understand the two mixed messages that we have from the Resh and the Sefer, her Rebbe, that the Sefer represents the opinion of Rebbe that Toivus Hanoah is Mammon. And since Toivus Hanoah is Mammon, then the halacha is he's not allowed to, they're not allowed to take my Trumas and Maisers. And the Resh, for Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Resh represents the opinion of Yehuda, that Toivus Hanoah is not money. Says the Gemara, where do we find this machloikis, if Toivus Hanoah is Mammon or not? The Tanya, Hagoyin of Tevelish al Chaveroi. Somebody stole from somebody else his Tevel. That means somebody has produce from which they have not yet removed the Trumas and Maisers, and somebody goes and steals that Tevel. So the halacha is v'ochloi, and now the person who stole it ate that Tevel. Mishamloi Tivlei Derevi Rebbe. Rebbe says he has to pay the entire value, he has to pay for everything that he ate. But the way the Ran explains, and so too is the opinion of the Rajba, it doesn't mean he pays the entire value of that produce as it was regular produce. Because in that produce that he stole, there certainly are Truma and Meiser. And Truma and Meiser have less of a value than Chulin. But certainly Truma may only be eaten by Kohanim and by Kohanim Tahirim. And therefore, they're less valuable. So the way Ran and Rajba say that what he means is you take this entire tevel that was eaten, the amount that would have been chulin, which is regular produce, the ganim has to pay their value, and the amount that would have been truma meiser have to pay the value of truma meiser. Other rishonim actually disagree, and then they say that you pay the value as if it was all chulin. But we're going to learn the Gemara with the pshat of the Ran. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Eimer, Eina Mishalim El Demei Chulin Shabai. You only have to pay the value of the chulin. The tevel, the truma and meiser portion, aren't considered money that you have to pay. I, Kohanim and Levim, would have received the truma and meiseris. So the Rishonim explain, as they often do, truma and meiseris, even though the person who had tevel certainly would have had to separate truma and meiseris and given them to Kohanim and Levim. But there is no one specific Kohen or Levi to whom I have to give my Truma Samaisris. And because there is no one specific Kohen or Levi to whom I have to give my Truma Samaisris, that falls into the category of Mamon She'en Lo Toivim. Money that hasn't got some, that there is no specific individual claiming that money. And Mamon She'en Lo Toivim, he holds, is not considered of a value. So says the Gemara, how do we explain the machloikus of Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef by Yehuda? So the Gemara la'a b'hoikwefki. The machloikus says the Rebbe sover toivus hanova moment, that I do have a financial stake in the trumas and maestris. Why do I have a financial stake in the trumas and maestris? Because I could get paid for whom to give the trumas and maestris, and therefore I am entitled to that payment. Rabbi Yossi Sover, Rabbi Yossi Yehuda Sover, he's of the opinion that that's not considered to have a financial stake. So the Masha says, if that's the Machloikis, so why did the Machloikis have to be taught in this case where he stole Tevel and there's Truma Samaisris portion in it? Why don't we just discuss if I have Truma Samaisris, which I have not yet distributed, and somebody steals it from me, does the ganav have to pay me or not? And the Rasha doesn't answer this question. So the Makta says that since that the Chiddush is the case that the din of the Ran, that we learned that the Ran taught us that if somebody steals the Tevel, according to Rebbe, you only have to pay when you pay for the Truma Meiser portion, you only have to pay what they're worth. So you would think that since he's paying for the Chulin portion, the full value, the Ganef would also have to pay for the Truma Meiser portion, the full value. Teaches us that even if Rebbe holds you have to pay, you only have to pay that portion and not the other portion. So we see that this question that we began our shiur with today, which we want to say is actually a machloikis of the Reisha and the Seif of our Mishnah, is actually a machloikis of Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda. Says the Gemara, that's not necessarily the way to interpret that machloikis. Loi, the kulam of Tavis Anah in a moment. Everybody can be of the opinion that Tavis Anah is not considered as a financial value. What is the machloikis? Lahacha, there's a different machloikis that's being debated. If Trumas and Maestris, which have not yet been separated out of the Tevel, and now, according to this, the question of the Marsha is obviously answered, because it's only in this case. Does the Halacha look at them, even though they weren't yet physically separated out of the Tevel, as if they were separated, and the Kohanim already have a right to that Trumas and Maestris? That is the opinion of Yosef Yehuda. and therefore they have no financial value. Because Rebbe hold that, yes, we're going to have to separate out here Trumas and Maisrus. And once we separate the Trumas and Maisrus, Toivus are not any moment, and the owner does not have any financial equity in that portion. But right now, the Trumas and Maisrus have not yet been separated. And since they have not been separated, the Halacha doesn't view them as Trumas and Maisrus yet. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that we're holding, that everybody agrees, that Toivus are not in a moment, Mali Hurma, Mali Loi Hurma, if we say that if they wouldn't separate it, they're considered Mamma Kahamnan, and that's why we're saying that even before they were separated, they also don't have a financial value. So the Yisrael doesn't have anything in this Tevel, the Chulin. But the Trumas and Maisrus, he doesn't have any ownership. So why does Rebbe say that you have to pay for the whole Tevel? Even if Loi Hurma, but at the end of the day, he doesn't own that portion of the Tevel. El Hayna Tam the Rebbe says the Gemara, there's a whole different explanation in Rebbe. Rebbe is going to hold that even though the Yisrael didn't lose anything, because he doesn't really have any financial equity in the part that's going to be taken for Trumas and Maisrus, but there's a new rule, there's a new factor to consider here. And that's the factor that the Gemara says, Kansur Rabbanan Laganef, we want to punish the Ganef for having stolen the Tevel, Kehecha Deloi Lignef, to prevent it from stealing in the future. And by telling him that not only will you have to pay for the chulin part of this mixture, but if even for the truma part of the mixture, that will be more of a way of preventing him from, that will be more of a deterrent for him to start, from him not to steal. And therefore, that's why Chazal made this rule. And in other words, as Rashi Masechet Kedushin explains, there's a concept in Halacha, Shloi Choyte Nisker, that somebody who doesn't have Erish shouldn't profit. So here, had a Ganef stolen straight up Chulin, we know he would have to pay for the entire amount of what he stole. Here what's happening is, because he stole this Tevel, he's going to pay less. We don't want, says Rashi in explanation of our Gemara, that the Ganef should profit from having stolen. And because we don't want the Ganef to profit from stealing, we make him pay for everything. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Sava. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, so Rebbe is making a very compelling argument, asked the Gemara. So why shouldn't Rabbi Yosef Yehuda agree that the Ganef should have to pay as if it was an entire, as if the Tevel was entirely Chulin? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, Kansur Rabbanan Labalabayis. We want the Balabayis also to be punished. Because what happened over here? What happened here was that the Balabayis had not removed the Trumas Maisrus, which is unacceptable in the eyes of Halacha. In the eyes of Halacha, you should right away separate the Trumas and Maisrus. And that's why he doesn't get reimbursed, and that will cause him Keichet Deloi Lishal Tevel. So in other words, many Rishonim say that the Ran explains that what the Gemara means to say, according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, there's one teretz. To one extent, we punish the Ganef, and to one point, that's Rebbe's opinion, and to another extent, we have to punish the owner. The Rashbah says that the way to learn the Gemara is that two separate terutzim. One is that we punish the Ganef, that even though we should punish the Ganef, we don't punish him. We're more interested in punishing the Balabayas. And according to Rebbe, we're more interested in punishing the Ganef. Rav Amma, especially now, we have a new question. The question that we began the shiur with, of how do we reconcile the Reisha and the Sefer of our Mishnah, really has not been resolved. And Rav Amma, Rav says a different way of reconciling the Reisha and the Sefer. It could be that everybody agrees that our Toivus HaNor is considered Monman. But if everybody considers Toivus HaNor Monman, so then why is the Halacha, if I said that no Kohen or Levi may benefit from me, can they take Trumas and Maisers from me, Bal Karcha? But they're benefiting from me. Says the Gemara, Rav Amashani Truma, Dayan Atam the Yitla Karcha, why can they take it even against my will? Shum the Truma Lechazi El Kahanim. There's no one that could eat Truma besides Kahanim. And somebody says that this type of a statement, Kivin the Ka'oslam Israelai, since he's saying that no kind could benefit from here, Shavi Afra Ba'alma. So in his eyes, it's worthless. In other words, by him saying that no kohen could benefit from me, and he has truma, then the truma becomes a worthless commodity, because nobody can eat truma besides kohanim. So if you only single out certain kohanim, so the truma has value, because we're holding tovus hanoam mamon, and all the kohanim that may benefit from me can have benefit from that truma, and therefore it has value. And since it has value, the kohanim who can benefit from me can't eat that truma. Whereas, if I said that no kohen can benefit from me, by saying no kohen can benefit from me, it has no value. If it has no value, therefore, when the kohen takes it, it's not considered as if he benefits from me. Taking something that has no value is not considered having benefit from me. A woman who said to her husband, says the Mishnah, I won't, your father, my father, your brother, my brother, may not have any benefit from me. Says the Mishnah, any yachal hafer. That is not considered a nether that the husband can be mefer. Why? Because even though, explained the Rishonim, the Miri makes this point, now if my wife won't help my parents or her parents, I will have to, it's still not a reason to consider it another of Inu Nefesh. The Rishonim, most of the Rishonim explain that this is also not in the category of Beino LeBeino. Because Beino LeBeino, most Rishonim explain, is something that affects their relationship, their personal relationship. Their personal relationship is not affected by her not doing things for her parents or his parents. Moreover, the Rishonim point out, the Samsaifa points out, from here we learn that no husband could force his wife to do anything for anyone else besides what she's obligated to do for him. If she says to her husband, "Any oisal picha, whatever I do, you may not benefit from," says the Mishnah, "and it's sarach lahafer." The nether is not even an effective nether because she's obligated to take care of her husband. And therefore, since she has a prior obligation to take care of her husband, so therefore, the nether is totally worthless. And the Ritva points out, even though when we learned Masech Ksubos, we learned extensively, a woman could say, "Ein in the zaynus, vein ha'isa, I'm not going to be supported from you, and I don't have to turn over my earnings to you." Says the Ritva, as long as she didn't say it, until she makes such a declaration, she has to take due for her husband, and therefore that's why this nether is not considered a valid nether. Moreover, points out the Ritva points out, but maybe we should say, or maybe we should define, that what she meant to say with this nether, that she's saying, "Ein in the zaynus vein ha'isur," that's maybe exactly what she means to say with this nether. Says the Ritva that that's exactly what the Mishnah is teaching us. That just because she made this nether, we don't have the right to say what it really means that she's saying, "Ein in the zaynus vein ha'isur." She didn't say, "Ein in the zaynus vein ha'isur," and if she didn't say it, we can't say that that's what the nether means. Rabbi Kiva, however, disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Omer Yofer, that even when she makes a nether that her husband may not benefit from her, the husband can and should be made for the nether. Why? Shema Tadav Alav Yosman Aroy. When we learned Masechta Ksubos, we also learned quite extensively what the wife has to earn, turn over to the husband, and what if she earns more than that, she doesn't have to turn over. And therefore, she may earn more than that than it, she's obligated to, that she could keep, and he won't be able to have any hanor from it, and therefore, he should make Aforos Nadarim. And the way the Rosh explains that what he should do is, the reason is, what is the basis for him to be able to do this Afara? Because it falls into the category of Beino Lebeino. If there's money in the helm that belongs to her and he can't benefit, there's a real concern that he may benefit from it. And therefore, since there's a real concern that he may benefit from it, and not legally, that's why he should be made for it. The Ritva says a different pshat. The Ritva says, beautiful pshat. He says, what did women typically do with this extra money? What they typically did with this extra money is that they used it for makeup. And we've learned earlier in our Masechta, at least according to the opinion of the Chachamim, that makeup is considered inui nefesh. And since this money was typically used for makeup, that's why it's considered a neder of inui nefesh. There are other Rishonim, however, have a totally different explanation of this Mishnah. And their explanation of this Mishnah is that when the Mishnah says that we have this concern about the Adofa, it doesn't make that this neder should be a neder of inui nefesh or a neder of beino lebeino. But the Mishnah says in such a case, because of the problems that we just identified that such a neder could cause, because as we just said, he may end up using money that he's not allowed to, they should seek out and go to a Rav to be matan neder. And by being matan neder, they could solve a lot of possible problems. Rabbi Yaakov ben Nuri Amar, Rabbi Yaakov ben Nuri says that even in a case, this is the way the Ran explains, we were not concerned about that dofa. We need to, he should be made for the nether. Why? Shema Yigrashena, Vatei Surilov. What happens that if he's not made for the nether, and the reason we're saying he's not made for the nether is because he doesn't have to be made for the nether, because she's obligated to turn over her earnings to him, so that she can't make such a nether. But that nether is not a valid nether as long as they're married. But once they get divorced, then the nether will kick in. And then, if he wants to remarry her, then he won't be able to marry her because the nether is preventing him from having any benefit from her. So in order to avoid the possible problem that could happen here, that's why he's allowed to be made for the nether. And what about the Tanna Kamma? Says say the Rishonim, there are two reasons why that the Tanna Kamma doesn't agree with this. One explanation is that this is an unlikely case that they're going to get divorced and he's going to get remarried, and therefore we don't have to be concerned about Shema Yigrashena. The other pshat is going back to a subject that we've discussed so many times in our Masechta about being a mei for a neder on a dovish labalaylam, being mei for a neder before it's even in existence. And that's really the case here. We're saying that the nether that was made now is a meaningless nether because she's the nether she made that he can't have any benefit from her is a meaningless nether. Why is it a meaningless nether? Because she's obligated to him. What are we worried about? That they're going to get divorced, and that's when the nether is going to kick in. The halacha is that that's considered a nether shlabal oilam, because right now the nether is not effective. So being made for the nether at this point, when it wasn't yet effective, then that's a meaningless nether, and such a meaningless nether is not something to be concerned about. Abba Amashmul says the Gemara that even though we just finished explaining the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, why he disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Aloch is actually Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that Dazman can name for it. So ask the Gemara, as we just explained, what was the Tanna Kamma's reasoning for not agreeing with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Because the nether at this point, while they're still married, is a Davish Shlo B'Loilam. Ask the Gemara, Lememra, so, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri obviously is not concerned with that. Ask the Gemara, remember, does that mean to say the Kesav Shmuel or the Magdish Tov Shloi B'loilam, that something that's not even in existence has a halachic existence for many? Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechtik Subis, Daf Nun Ches Omid Beis, teaches us, HaMagdish Masi Deyishtoi, if somebody is Magdish, all of his wife's, whatever his wife makes, HaReza Oysev HaChelis. The halach is that the Hegdish is not Chal. The reason the Hegdish is not Chal, because the husband doesn't have that type of ownership over his wife, and what she earns, that he should be able to be Magdish whatever she earns. Meiser, if he was Magdish, anything that she makes over, what she makes more than Chazal said, she's obligated to turn over to her husband. Remei Amachagdish, it is Hegdish, even though it's a Dovah Shalah B'loilam, Yochanan Sadna Mechulin. Because at this point, when he Magdish it, didn't come into existence, and he can't be Magdish Dovah Shalah B'loilam. And there, says the Gemara, Vamish Malach Kav Yochanan Sadna Alma, from there we see that ain't other Magdish Dovah Shalah B'loilam. So how do we reconcile where Amish the Shmuel seems to say that you can be Magdish Adovah Shalah B'loilam, and there he says you can't be Magdish Adovah Shalah B'loilam. V'chi Tamer, and if you'll say this that Shmuel said, Ki Omer, when Shmuel and Al Gemara said, Halach Reb Yochanan ben Nuri al Adofa Kamer, he was only referring to the Adofa, and only the amount that she makes above her earning. If that's what he meant, that's what he should have said. He should have said that I'm passing like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, but I'm only passing like him by Adofa. Well, he should have said, because they also agree that we don't treat the Hadofa like the basic earnings. El Amar of Yosef, why, even though Shmuel and the rest of Shas holds Ein Adam Magdish Dovah Shalah B'loilam, and that's why in the Gemara that we started on top of this Amid, he paskins like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. Here in our Mishnah, he paskins like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because Shani Konamis, the way the Neder was expressed in our Mishnah was with a Koinim, and a Koinim is a whole different type of Neder. However, Adam Oysa Peres Chaver Alav, just like I could say that, unlike Hegdish, but by a Neder, I could say something that doesn't belong to me, even though it doesn't belong to me, it should be also to me. Somebody else's fruit could be also to me. That which is not passable by Hegdish. I can't be Magdish, something that belongs to someone else. So too, even though there's a lock of Ein Adam Magdish Dovish Labalaylam, Adam Tsunami Dovish Labalaylam. To make a nether on something, a Dovish Labalaylam, is different than being Magdish something. A Hegdish, you can't do. But Koinem, a Neder, you can do. Says the Gemara Amalei, Abaye Bishlama Adam Oysa Peres Chavera Alav. You know why I could say somebody else's Peres should be also to me? Because Harei Adam Oysa Peres Chavera. I can make my Peres also on somebody else. So what it means to say is, in both of these cases, I have, this is what Rishonim explained this Gemara, I have some level of ownership. Peiros chaveroi, the peiros that belong to someone else, are myself. So I may not own those peiros, but I own myself. My peiros on someone else, I may not own that other person, but I own my peiros. But el yosu davish la ba'olam al chaveroi, but when I want to say something that didn't come to the world should be usher on my chaver, so there's no ownership. I don't own the peiros because they're davish la b'loilam, and I don't own my chaver. So the halacha ought to be, how could you be usher my siyadayim that didn't come to the world? If how could the woman's nether be effective? She doesn't own those mice. She doesn't own that other person. She doesn't own her husband, and she doesn't own the Maisi Adayim yet, because they haven't come into the world yet. So how do we understand the Mishnah? And says the Gemara, The only way to understand that's the only way to understand the Mishnah. Ella Omer Ravuna Brei Rav Yeshua. Why must you catch your day? Let's say it. She was Magdash her hands, and her hands are in existence. The Yadayim Hesnu Ba'Olam. Says the Gemara V'Chama Hocha Kacha. Is that going to be a valid statement? From a Shaddai Yadela Bala. Her hands are Meshuvah to her husband. As we've been discussing throughout a Shir, a woman has turned over everything she earns, all of her earnings to her husband. So that means her husband owns a hand. Says the Gemara, what she meant to say was L'Chimigarsha. That it should only be effective after they get divorced. And at that point, her hands belong to her, and therefore that hegdish, that's why it's a valid neder.